Or that way you say, because I know you all relate to this, right? That way you say, if you kids don't stop it right now, I'm going to turn around and bam your heads together, right? There's that way. Or my favorite, this was the one that always worked. When I was exasperated and nothing else worked, it was, because I said so. Right? Swore I would never say that. All right, so what I can tell you is that is the stop it nature of spirituality, where you've just had enough, or there's some imminent danger or perceived energy, energetic of danger, and we lay the law down and say, no, that's enough. Now, this comes right out of the teachings of Emma Curtis Hopkins. There's a bunch of us meeting together on Wednesday nights talking about studying the essential Emma. And Emma Curtis Hopkins is a great mystic, a great teacher. She is said to be, in New Thought, she is said to be the teacher of teachers because she taught everybody that went on to start a New Thought church, including Dr. Ernest Holmes, who founded the religious science. The science of mind. And so they call her the teacher of teachers, but she is also considered to be the mother of New Thought. And that's because she had a key role in organizing the New Thought movement. Emma was a teacher, a writer, a mystic, but she was also a feminist. She was also considered by some a prophet, and she ordained ministers, and her great call is that she ordained women. She was the first person to ordain women as ministers. So her idea of the Holy Trinity was that there is absolutely a feminine aspect of the divine. And in fact, her Holy Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, which is all of humanity, and God the Mother Spirit, or the Holy Comforter. Isn't that beautiful? See, this is why we love Emma. She's got that whole other way of looking at scripture and understanding spirituality. Now, she teaches these 12 lessons, and the lessons, even though she's published a lot of books and they all have 12 chapters and 12 lessons, they're the same 12 lessons just restated in other ways. And they're very simple. I'll tell you that it starts out, the first lesson is, well, somebody tell me who was in the class. Shout it out. Thank you. Thank you. Was that actually a student in the class? Oh, yeah, it is. Once again, Nancy's bailing me out of the dark. God is good. And God is good, and good is God, and we should name our good and call it forward. And that's why I've been saying here on Sundays, there's a good for me, and I ought to have it. Because that's what Emma says. That's what Emma teaches. Number one, God is good. But here's the deal. If you call out your good, if you name your good, then what you are automatically doing is noticing that it's not here and you desire to call it forward. So the next question is, what's standing in my way that it feels like my good is absent? What is it? What belief do I have? How am I limiting or looking at lack, believing in lack, or limiting what's possible in this situation, whatever that is, where you would desire it to be different? And she calls step two denials, because you simply must look at what's in the way. This is where Ernest Holmes gets that line that we teach in class. We are not about positive thinking and putting your head in the sand. That is not what we teach here. We look the discordant fact in the face so that we know that the opposite of that is where our good is. So what's in your life that you don't want in your life anymore? Not who, it might be who, but and then look on the opposite of that, what is that good? And you name that, you describe that, you talk about it, you think about it, you begin to feel it as though it's actually real. And that's step two. That would be where you're looking at what you don't want and you're saying, stop it. That's where we get the stop it consciousness. And then the third step, once you've done, you're clear on what you're denying, what you're pushing away, what you don't want in your life, you now affirm what it is that you do want. And then ultimately, you work through all these classes, you work toward this beautiful place of making a covenant with God. You make a covenant with God. You claim you're good. You state it. You write it out. You think about it. You speak it. And it becomes your truth. That's where you embody the I am consciousness. So it's really an amazing, amazing class. We're having a very good time in there. Now, Emma says that anything that is not good, you know how we do things in pairs of opposites, good and evil, that the evil is simply your apartness. Do you hear that word, Sue Witter? That is your apartness from God. I love that word. It's a secret. I can't tell you now. I don't have time. But there is your good, and then there is your apartness from good. So anytime you hear the term evil, it is a way we have had just error thinking. That is where you've been thinking too small or limited, or I can't do that until you know, yada, yada, yada. And all of that does not have to be your reality. So we name our good. We say stop it to what's not our good, and we begin to focus our attention on what it is we desire, and eventually when we're confident enough, we write out a covenant with God to claim that good. Doesn't that sound luscious? It's a formula that works. Then the key is that you don't keep talking about what you don't want. Stop it. That's right. That's where it gets. Oh, you jumped the gun there. Nice. So the whole idea of the stop it mentality is the way we are negating anything in our life that we don't want in our life anymore. So the stop it idea is a great way. You're going to remember this because you're going to think of Bob Newhart, and you're going to laugh instead of chastising yourself. You're going to laugh, and you're going to be able to shoo it away. So this is what we're talking about today. Before you can try on a new behavior, you have to stop repeating the old behavior. Otherwise, that's all you're going to get is all the old behavior. And Emma did say we cannot be talking about the negative stuff because speaking evil doubles evil. Did you ever notice when you're talking about something really awful, you're talking to somebody about your problems and you've got a good listener, and so you get to kind of go on and on and on? You never feel better when you're done talking about it. That's because it creates an energetic in our being. You know, we're starting to understand that in very logical ways when we look at the body-mind connection. Evil is just, or negativity is just, those moments when we have separated ourselves from that greater truth. And so in order to feel better, we have to start focusing on our good. We live in this realm of effect. That's where the conditions of our life are. That's the bottom part of the symbol. That's the material world. Everything in physical form is the bottom of the symbol. And in order to create change or to have something new or different in our life, we can't just move things around down here in the bottom like rearranging furniture. We have to go all the way back to the top and plant a new seed. We have cause at the top, and then the cause creates the effect at the bottom. So when you know the good that you desire to have in your life, let me hear an amen. When you know what that is, talk about it. Name it. Tell the truth about it, Emma says. See it. Describe your good. Feel it. Taste it and smell it and touch it and make it so real to you that something happens inside of us. We experience a quickening. Emma calls it, she says that we are quickened with heavenly gladness, right? Quickened with heavenly gladness. That's when you feel it inside of you. Judy Baker calls that the God bumps, right? That's when you just feel it shudder through your whole body because you see the truth and you know it's true and you realize it's right here in front of you, even now. That's right. So as we embody that kind of like, you can feel it, that's when we're grateful. Nobody has to tell you to be grateful. If you keep talking about your good, you will be grateful for it. And that is then that inward process that the ancient classical metaphysicians called the involution. And then we are a part of shifting that energy and creating our very own good, because that's how the universe works. That's why it's so important to ask yourself what you believe, and how do we put our energy into the universe, because energy in motion is what creates life. I love that we, did you ever think about this? I love that we call the planet Mother Earth. I love that. I mean, that was probably coined by the native tribes, the indigenous people, the idea of Mother Earth. And that fits so perfectly with Emma's idea of and description of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Mother Spirit, or the Holy Comforter. So, this is how you're going to take it home if you are so interested. How do we do that? Well, what if we could imagine that we live all the time in a loving environment? What if we were able to see that idea or feel or just sense that idea of the Mother Spirit that exists everywhere present all the time as a holy comforter? We live in a universe that mothers us in a way that we know we deserve to be cared for. It's something in the song, Andrea, that was so touching for me, is that the line that is my line, it was the theme for my ordination, is to be held sweetly in the hands of God. It's almost like you were part of the talk there when you were singing that. To be held sweetly. Could we imagine what that would be like to be held sweetly in the arms of God? Could you imagine in some way sitting in the very lap of the universe, the lap of a caring and a compassionate and a loving universe, a life that supports us in every way? You know, I'm an old student of the Course in Miracles, and I remember somewhere in the workbook lessons, there's a lesson that says, sit for 1 minute and just love God. Sit for 1 minute and just love God. And then when you get done, sit for another minute and just feel God loving you. Wow. Could you sit in an open posture for a single minute, and you did nothing but acknowledge the way you are loved and supported and cared for, held sweetly in the arms of God? What would it take for us to feel that kind of love, to feel cherished by something that is greater than we are, something that created us, something that is unspeakable, something that is indescribable in almost every way? And yet it's all, not some, all the goodness of the universe, all the peace of the universe, all the joy, all the beauty, all the harmony, absolutely all of it surrounding us, embracing us at all times. And what if every time we got stirred with those God bumps, we would recognize that it was a shiver of love, it was a recognition of our oneness with life, that we cannot be separated from that good? How do we summon that? How do we call it forward? How do we open to it? I'm telling you that it is a day-by-day willingness to create the space to have an experience of it. And I would add that on page 58 of Scientific Christian Mental Practices by Emma Curtis Hopkins, you will find her strong words of enlightenment. And you know what she says on page 58 of that book? I'm only going to tell you one little thing, and that is a powerful page. She says the way to have that experience is to open to a greater understanding of God. So I'm happy that you're here. Happy that you come and you make that space, a tiny space of willingness to consider lofty thoughts such as these that are sometimes unspeakable and indescribable. Emma said, it's a couple of good quotes I want to leave you with. The silence of your mind with respect to your good, okay, so the silence of your mind, in other words, you're not thinking about your good. The silence of your mind in respect to your good is accountable for all the appearances of what is not good. You hear what she's saying? She's saying that if you're not thinking about good, other stuff is going to creep in. And then it's up to us to choose again, to open that book on page 58, to reconsider something you heard here this morning or somewhere else in your life, or a bumper sticker, a divine message from God at a red light. It doesn't matter how you get it. Be quiet and listen. Are you talking more about your good or are you talking about your lack? When you know what you want, then tell the truth about it. Emma says, put away your ideas that interfere with the good that you are seeking. Because it's all around us. It desires to be expressed in our life. It's the only way that it is alive. It's as we allow it to move through us. To allow that divine activity of life to express as us, I want to tell you a story. I want to tell you something really profound that happened to me, and it's going to sound very light at first, and that's good because most good surprises, most deep messages come to me through the lightness or the dark night. I prefer the lightness. I don't know about you. So I'm sitting at home watching TV with Hugh a couple days ago. I'm pretty sure it must have been the day before yesterday. And I'm on the sofa, and I'm not a sports fan, so I don't watch the game as much as I enjoy just sitting with my husband, and I'll read or something, and he will let me know when something significant has happened on the ball field, right? So something happens, and he goes, oh, look, and he rewinds, we got that DVR thing. He rewinds the ball game, and he goes, you got to watch this first baseman catch this ball. This was a great save, it must have been, for the team he was rooting for, of course. And so he rewinds it, and there was this strange thing happened. The guy made a great play, but it was at the end of the day, and the sun was just about to set, and the sun had dropped behind the outfield grandstand bleachers, right? Except there was this one area that was, I don't know, 50 feet? Does that make, in a boy world, would 50 feet be? 50 feet, let me say it with authority, it was about 50 feet, and the sun had dropped behind there, so everything was shaded except where this section was open, and the sun was right there. You know that happens only for a minute, right? Not even a minute, probably. And the sun was right there, and as they were filming this first baseman making this great catch, it was one of those where he leaped through the air, his shadow was on the wall. And because the sun was so low, his shadow was all elongated, you know, and it was so fascinating. And I said to Hugh, oh, play that back. I need to see that again. Oh my gosh, let's watch it again, you know. And so we played it a lot, right, honey? And it was, did he agree with me? Okay, that's all I need to know. He said, I pay you to be in agreement with me when I do those shout outs. So he's humoring me, and he's playing it back, and I said, you know, that would make, somebody needs to make a poster out of that, because it was a dynamic, just a half a second of time that of this great posture, or, you know, position, and the catch, and it's all on the giant on the wall. And then I realized, while he was going back and forth, that there was a section of the audience over behind home plate and between first base. There was a more by home plate, I think. But there was a section of people, and they were all dressed in bright yellow. And I knew neither of the teams had yellow in their uniforms. So I said to Hugh, and by the way, it was like we were rewinding, playing back and forth. So it was just a skip. It was just a skip. And I went to him, hey, why are they in yellow? Why is that? They're the only ones in the whole stand, and they're in bright yellow. And he goes, they're not in yellow. And I went, yeah, they're in yellow. You haven't seen it yet. So we played with it for the longest time. And he gets it where they're all yellow. And I went, see, right there. And he gets it to freeze. You know, you do that freeze frame thing. It was so cool. And he went, honey, they're not wearing yellow. And I said, they are too. And I got up and I put my glasses on and I walked right to the TV and I looked really close and they were not wearing yellow. It was that 50 feet of sun shining on one little square of people in the audience, and it was some very unusual effect of that sunlight and the way the camera picked up that portion of the audience that created this gorgeous golden glow. And you know what the yellow was? It was their skin. It was their flesh. It was the sunlight vibrating, shining, sparkling brilliantly off the very flesh of people sitting in the stands. It was the golden glow of humanity in the light of something bigger, something more powerful than we are. And it was beautiful, even as a brief moment on a TV screen. When we understand the truth of our divinity, that divine light that desires to glow from us, it is that truth that then calls out greater truth to shine as we live our lives. And so I want to end this morning with a final quote from Emma Curtis Hopkins, because it's a very unusual quote, and I think it has a profound message for us. Emma said, "Religion has given the idea to humankind that we all owe so much to God. But this is the wrong way to look at God, the good. The good owes itself to us, and we have only to tell the truth." Stand in the light, my friends. Name your good and be courageous enough to stand up when necessary and say, "Stop it." Take a deep breath. And we're going to anchor these ideas in the powerful words of prayer. So just get comfortable where you're seated. And imagine for a moment that I have spoken something important just to you. What is that gem that is only yours? And we pull that deep within, recognizing that presence and that power. The presence of God right here in this room, in this very moment. It is the infinite intelligence of all the universe. It is the great, great wisdom of life. It is the light. It is the truth. And as we recognize that we are absolutely one in union with this new understanding of what God is, everything shifts in the inner world. We connect with that indwelling presence at a higher level of awareness. We remember yet again that there is that divine truth, that divine light in every cell of our being, that intelligence that lives in every molecule, in every organ, in every tissue, in every fingernail. It is the divine of all of life, and it is that which sources us endlessly. And so this day, as we stand in this new posture and open ourselves to be vessels, to be the feminine, to receive the seed this day, we are open to that new essence of life that desires expression through us. And so as we become the holy womb of nature in our own life, in our own way, in our own individualized expression of God as we live our life, we see that good is right here. And we name our good. We call it out. We pull it toward us in our receptive posture, because that is how the law of attraction works. We know again that in this oneness, this connection of our life with all of life, that there is more to be done in this world through us. There are ways in which Spirit itself desires to express through us and show up in our relationships, to heal those physical things in our body that ail us. We do not describe what is wrong. We stand in our truth. We name it. We call it. We speak it. We write it. We claim it. And therefore, that quickening that we feel at any moment, expected or unexpected, is the reality of life itself, the strongest force in the universe as love expressing in our lives. And so we do not hold back. We stand brazen in our openness. We receive the seeds of possibility. We align ourselves to the divine imagination so we can say, "Thy will be done. Thy will be done in my life." I allow the Holy Spirit, as the mother energy of all life, to conceive even more goodness within me. And I know that that is true within each individual within the sound of my voice, that we are changed this day. We are changed. We are renewed, we are risen, we are touched by that light, and we glow, that divine glow, because that is what we have been called to do. So I say thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Spirit. Thank you, life, for a new awareness of all of this goodness and all that is yet to come. We stand joined together. We stand courageously as beams of light in the desert, touch people and life with goodness everywhere we go. For this and so much more, I am grateful, and I release these words into that divine law that always responds affirmatively. Yes, my child, yes. I let it be, and together we say, amen.